Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to the Coleman Had a Dream podcast. I'm here, as always, with Ruth. How are you doing, Ruth?
Okay, all right. Looking forward to some international football. It's, you know, life's all right.
Yeah, well, I'll remind you of that in a couple of days, and you tell me if it's still life's all right, depending on what happens. We are here to talk about the Latvia away game, which is obviously the important qualifier, but also to have a quick chat through the South Korea game, which is coming up on Thursday this week. And before we go too deep into it, Ruth, I just wanted to ask your thoughts on the fact that there seems to be quite a low number of tickets sold. About 7,000 is the number that's doing the rounds. I just wondered what you've thought of that in general.
Oh, I hadn't heard that. I do think it's a friendlies we ought to be considering to take into some of the other grounds. And I think this friendly in particular, it's very difficult to generate a kind of enthusiasm and a purpose for this friendly when the Latvia game feels so, so much more important. Those are disappointing numbers, though. I hadn't heard that. That does seem very low.
I think that is the thing that worries me, is that it is very, very low. And I get that, you know, and I've heard and I've seen on Twitter all the reasons, you know, there's going to be a decent portion of people going to Latvia, which is true. It's midweek, yeah. It's the end of the summer holidays, cost of living crisis, 25 quid a ticket. I recognise all of those things. It does make me chuckle. And again, I'm not disparaging any. I think all of those things are valid. It does make me chuckle that, you know, when we played in our World Cup playoff qualifying, the final, against Ukraine, we had people a year ago saying we should be playing all our games in the Millennium Stadium. It's impossible to get tickets for Wales games. It goes to show that if you do want to go and see the national team, it is quite easy to go and do it. It's just that big games sell out, and that's the case whether you're Wales or Scotland or Germany or it's a World Cup final. You know, these things happen. So it does remind me that we should be, as you say, taking these games elsewhere, but not the Millennium Stadium. Parker Scarlets was a good one. Obviously, we've got the game in Wrexham coming up, which I think is going to be great. So I think it's important that we, you know, recognise this and question it, because there are some valid reasons. And, you know, 25 quid seems to me a lot of money for a midweek friendly, I've got to be honest.
Mm-hmm. No, I would agree with that. I would agree with that. And I think, you know, you can do some interesting double tickets. You know, can people buy both friendly games for not much at all, yeah. For example, although I appreciate the Wrexham, even though it's Gibraltar, I appreciate the Wrexham game is going to sell out just because of the geography. People are desperate to have games up there. So maybe it's not a double header in the usual sense.
No, true. But still, you know, I agree that something different, you know, free tickets for school kids seems like an absolute no-brainer given the circumstance. But anyway, obviously that is the game that is coming up on Thursday. I've looked at a bit of research, if you like, about South Korea and how they play, Ruth. They've had quite a mixed last few games as well, kind of all friendlies, though, against South American teams since the World Cup finished. They've played against El Salvador and drew. They lost to Peru. They lost to Colombia, I think it was. So not much to take from them in terms of their recent form, but did okay in the World Cup, got through the group and beat Portugal in their last game 2-1 to get out of the group, but then obviously lost to Brazil 4-1 to knock themselves out, so to speak, in the last 16 phase. What do you think we're going to kind of come up against this side?
I do think it's actually quite an interesting game because the needs of both teams are about as far apart as you can imagine. They've got a year, all of this calendar year is friendlies building up for the Asia Cup that starts in mid-Jan. As you said, they've had a run of South American teams that they've played at home, and then they're playing us, and then they're playing the Saudi Arabian team up at Newcastle, yeah, in this window. So this is the... They have, if we include our game, they have three more friendlies before that Asian Cup. And so I think Klinsmann, obviously, who came in after the World Cup and is an interesting choice. Bento was not very popular despite getting them to the last 16. But anyway, I think Klinsmann has been experimenting up to here. You look at his teams. I think there's just a couple of players that he's played in three of the four games that they've had. Virtually everybody else has been playing a single game or maybe a couple. So he's been doing lots of rotating through the March and June windows. presumably now he's going to start looking at what is actually his first 11. Yeah. They play us, they play, as I said, the Saudis, then they play Tunisia in October. The South Koreans, ourselves and Tunisia are pretty closely grouped on rankings. So I think the choice of teams is quite deliberate as they gear up for the World Cup. So I think they're looking to run out close to their first 11 and you know, or at least Klinsmann's latest version of their first 11. Particularly here in Europe, all of their best players are, you know, one would hope they're going to be available. They, you know, they haven't got the geography considerations of getting some of those players back to Korea for one friendly or something. Yeah. So I think they're looking at it as a very serious build-up for the Asian Cup. We're looking at it as a placeholder filler ahead of Latvia. I think what happened in June perhaps gives it a bit more significance for us because of what we were talking about in the last pod of looking for a plan, looking for a pattern of play, all that sort of thing. I hope we're going to go in with that attitude ahead of the Latvia game. My worry is we're going to put in players that can't play in Latvia. Why have you brought Moura Morel to camp if you're not intending to play them in this game? But yet we can't play them in the Latvia game. So that I think there's a lot of contradictions in our approach, whereas I think the Koreans have got a very set purpose for this game.
I agree. What I find weird about this, again, is from what you've said there, is I feel like we've picked this team or we've been offered this team as a whole filler, if you like, and we've accepted it on the basis that that's what we want to do. But I don't actually think it's something that really benefits us. They're a team who like to high press. They're a team who like to have the ball. They're a team who like to counterattack very, very quickly. I don't think any of those challenges await us really against Latvia. Equally, as you say, I agree. I think they're going to go pretty much full strength here and maybe go a bit softer in the Saudi Arabia game as other players kind of experiment and get their chance to find a place in the team. What I think interests me most about it is the Morel and Moore thing. We talked about it briefly last week, but I think he has to play them because otherwise what's the point in bringing them? So I feel like he's definitely going to play them. But then what's the point? Because to something we'll come on to when we talk about tactics and whatever else in a sec, I think whichever shape and plan whenever we play, I think it needs to have those key elements of people who are replacing someone else, getting as much time in those roles as possible, those people being Joe Morel and Kiefer Moore. So it strikes me as odd that we would call them up. And again, maybe it's just to give, you know, some continuity in the squad, to give it a senior feel, if you like, and to have their presence about the place. So it is an interesting one for me. To look ever so slightly tactically, I feel like they are not a particularly physical team. I think the spaces we can exploit are kind of in behind their fullback, similar to actually what we talked about against Armenia, looking at what they had. They're not great with long balls. They are, you know, the goals they scored against Brazil, three of the four goals they scored against Brazil, and I appreciate it's Brazil, but came from those wide fullback areas, and those were the goals they conceded. So that's where we can get at them. But again, based on what I'm about to say, or what we're about to talk about, sorry, against Latvia, I don't really think that's relevant to what we need to do against Latvia either. So I agree, it's a bit of a strange one, and maybe that's again as part of what is reflected in the crowd, although I don't think this, maybe people are thinking that much deep into it. But I think one of the big things we talked about last time was setup and formation and team selection, and I think it's really important and interesting what will happen here. So I think it's important that we talk about what we think Rob Page will do in the first instance, rather than what we will do, because I suspect that those might be two quite different things. So let's start off, Ruth. What do you think Paige will do goalkeeper-wise?
Well, actually, I wanted to cycle back a little bit and say a bit more about their pattern of play. Go because they, as you said, they move the ball quickly, lots of 1-2 touch. They're not afraid of taking a shot. I think it's their speed is impressive. As you say, they're not a physical team, but they're clearly a fit team.
Yeah.
Like even against the Brazilians, they managed over 500 passes in a game that they lost 4-1. So there's a lot going on the pitch. And ironically, I think there may be some when you look at how poorly we played against Armenia, where they were coming at us fast, I think there may be some benefits in examining ourselves with a team that play like that, although I can't see it directly correlating with Latvia quite so well. So I think there may be merit in the game in a more sort of holistic sense. They're quick-witted, they're busy, they're kind of at you. And I think we've suffered against those sorts of teams. It's just not an immediate pairing for this window. So to actually answer your game, your question about how this might flow for us in the game, I mean, I think you can only start Ward in goal at this point. It's, you know, nobody's really getting any play. So I don't see reason to change that. I think we've got enough questions at the back without trying to gel different combinations with a goalkeeper they've not played with quite so much recently. So yeah, I'm going with Ward there. I think it might be a game where we do 45 minutes and 45 minutes, genuinely treat it as a friendly in that sense. And I think the goalkeeper is somewhere where you can do that. You know, it's clearly says less about your approach tactically than it does how you arrange the outfield players.
Yeah, I agree. Very quickly, just to touch on what you said about the South Korea, that busyness is something that is one of the only things I see where there's a similarity, because I do think, maybe not high up the pitch, but I do think the Latvians will be at us, so certainly when we kind of come on to them, if you like. So I do mm-hmm. also think that will be something that does maybe play into it. But anyway, no, I agree entirely about Ward. It's concerning deeply to me that we've got four goalkeepers. Two of them haven't, in Ward and Hennessy, didn't make their club squad this week, so didn't make the bench, never mind anything else. Equally, we have Tom King, who's not playing for Salford. I think the only person who was on the bench this weekend was Adam Davis. So there's definite concerns about all of that. There, but I agree. I think it's important that Ward, who will be our goalkeeper, comes in. And I think it's important he plays the full 180 minutes of those two games, especially the warm-up, because I think he needs the minutes. I don't think there's any. I don't think there's an argument over that. The big question is, Ruth, do you think we will play four at the back or five at the back?
Quick corrections thing. Am I misunderstanding? Hasn't King moved to Wolves?
What did I say?
You still have him at Salford.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I meant Wolves. Yeah, I don't think he was on the bench for Wolves either, rather than Salford.
No,
sorry.
Exactly. It's an ongoing. That part of it is the ongoing problem, isn't it?
Yeah.
Sorry. What was your question?
Jesus, we're back to our best, ladies and gents. My question was: do you think we will play four or five at the back?
Well, I'm really torn with this because I think fundamentally it's less of an issue of playing four at the back, and it's more about having two strong, competent, knowing what they're doing central defensive players. And so I'm still, I think, on paper, an advocate for four of the back as long as we sort out the defensive midfield. The problem is, without Morel, there isn't an obvious partner for Ampadu. We've put Ramsey there before; it hasn't really worked. And so I'm in a dilemma. Is my honest answer to this? I think Paige might revert to the five because we've got to do something about shoring ourselves up defensively. We've got to sort that out. I just don't like the knock-on effect of how little attacking strength that then gives us on the field. So that's why I'm really torn about it. I think if Joe Morel was around and available, I think I might advocate for staying with the four and having Ampadu and Morel as the holders. But I think the fact that we're going to have to put someone with Ampadu, I think we'll end up with going with five.
I would advocate for the five at this point. I'm going to talk more about Latvia than I am about South Korea, because I think it lends itself that way. But if you look at Latvia recently, they've played Armenia in their last game, lost 2-1. Before that, they lost 3-2 to Turkey, having equalised super, super late in the game. Okay, we beat them 1-0. After that, they lost to Ireland in a friendly, Republic of Ireland in a friendly 3-2. Before that, they drew 1-1 in the Baltic Cup with Iceland. They drew 1-1 with Estonia, 1-1 with Andorra, 1-1, they lost 2-1 in the Nations League to Moldova. They beat Liechtenstein 2-0, beat Latvia 4 beat Moldova 4-2, beat Liechtenstein 1-0, beat Andorra 3-0. I'm saying all these things, and I know they're not big teams they're playing against up until the ones more recently, but they are the only time in recent games they've not scored a goal, friendlies or otherwise, was against us. In fact, the last time they didn't score a goal, other than us, was when they drew 0-0 with Norway away in a World Cup qualifier on the 13th of November 2021. That's almost 2 years ago. So,
yeah, can I throw another? Because I've looked at the same data and come at it with a slightly different kind of stat, I suppose, for want of a better word. So they have, in the last 2 years, so going back to that same time period, they haven't lost by more than one goal. They keep every game damn close. So that includes losing to the Netherlands by a goal, losing to Turkey twice by a goal, losing to Ireland by a goal, losing to us by a goal. Obviously, that draw with Norway that you mentioned. So they have an ability to keep games really close. I would agree with you on that.
And to add to that, were you to be cynical and look at Wales's campaign, we have played 4 games and conceded 7 goals. If we want to journey back before that, we conceded 3 against England, 2 against Iran, 1 against America, blah, 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 blah. And again, they're all different teams and different difficulties, etc. I recognise all of that. But to only not score in one game in 2 years is actually pretty impressive. Again, take into the context of the opposition. But equally, I mean, Turkey absolutely obliterated us. In real terms, obliterated is a stretch. But Latvia, again, kept in the game. 94th minute scored a goal and then conceded pretty much straight afterwards from the kickoff. And that was with 10 men. They scored a goal with 10 men. In that game, hilariously, the Armenia game, they lost 2-1. They didn't have any shots on target. It was an own goal, which I enjoyed massively. But in the Turkey game at home, they had 15 shots, 8 on target, but with 30% possession. They had gave away twice as many fouls as Turkey. This is a team who I think we would be, given our current predicament, would be criminal to underestimate what they're capable of. And I think that as a consequence of that, we have to play 5 at the back because we have to stop conceding goals. They, against them, ironically, is the only time we haven't conceded a goal in such a long time. So we have to play 5 at the back, I think, because we have to stop conceding goals. Because I also don't think we're capable of going scoring 3 at the other end. So this has to be kept tight. So as a consequence of that, I think we have to go back to that system. And I think it has to be embedded in that South Korea game so that everyone knows what they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I think that's what we're going to do. I feel like it's a sticking plaster solution for what's actually a break in midfield. You know, I think fundamentally we've got an issue there. But as you say, we've got to do something because we can't go into game planning to win them 3-2. Yeah. That's not how we should be playing. Yeah. So we've got to shore at the back. So in terms of what will actually happen, I think we'll see 5 at the back. And then, I mean, what 5 would you go with?
So for the friendly, given the circumstance and the situation, a change of system, I think my back 3, so to speak, would be the back 3 that I would at least start, and I would treat it as 2 45s, but my opening lineup would be Rodden, Meppham and Ben Davis in that 3. Mm-hmm. And I might have done something slightly different had Lockyer been around, but he's not. So I would do those 3. Conor Roberts has been playing at right wing back. According to Google, he played left back against Man United the other day. Was it Man United they played? Man City? Anyway, someone. So that was interesting to me. But as a consequence, I wouldn't play him to start off with. I think I'd have a look at give Wes Burns some game time there. I think that wing back role might suit him, and it gives him a chance to play into the team for Tuesday as a sub or an impact player if we need him. Nico Williams hasn't really been playing much, so I think I'd start him and give him an opportunity to get some game time under his belt. So my back five would be the three central defenders I mentioned there, Connor Roberts on the right, and then Wes Burns, sorry, on the right instead of Connor Roberts, and then Nico on the left as left wing back.
Okay, I think I'm going to play Connor Roberts and Nico Williams, just like you say, probably for a half. Just start that back five the way I would imagine they will start in Latvia, assuming it's a back five. I actually was struggling to see who you'd pair Ampadu with on the basis that you don't play Morale, or at least you don't start with Morale in the Korea game, because, you know, you can't start that way in the Latvia game. So on the basis that I want to see two holding midfielders, we're hitting that dilemma again of who is that? Who is that second role, person that can fill that second role? And based on who's available, I actually put Wes Burns in there, because he's been playing a bit of mostly right wing at club level so far this season. So I actually ended up pairing Ampadu with Burns as my holding pair.
I think that what will happen, rather than what I would do, but what I think will happen is, I think there's no point calling Josh Sheehan up, having not seen him for a long time, if you're not going to pick him. So I think he will start with Sheehan next to Ampadu as an almost audition, because he knows, not that we all agree with him, I would say, but Paige knows that if he really needs to, he can tell Ramsey to play next to Ampadu. And that, I think, will be his sort of only real tactical choice ahead of the game, will be, can Sheehan do it, or does he need to put Ramsey back into that spot to do it? So I think Sheehan will start on the basis that, why else have you picked him if you're not going to, if you're not going to put him in, to at least give him that chance there, because otherwise there's no point then starting him in the important game. That's lunacy. So
no.
I think he has to, that's what I think he will do anyway, start Sheehan.
No, I can see the argument. And I think we've demonstrated that someone playing League One isn't the end of the world for us.
Yeah,
So I think, you know, I don't think there's a straightforward solution there, Dave. And I wouldn't be, I think we can have three or four options potentially there, and none of them would be particularly surprising, and none of them would be particularly exciting, and all of them are problematic, you know?
Yeah. No, I agree. And that's what's hard about this, is that that is our real area.
Yeah.
And I think that is what kind of leaves us in the proverbial hole. Looking at the strikers, or how else we would set up here. And I think we will go back to full, 2015, where we have two holders and two others in against Latvia, in Ramsey and maybe Brooks, possibly Wilson, who we just say to, you guys go for your lives, and we'll have one centre forward who tries to knit it all together. So with that in mind, I think that will be the plan, to look at doing that again. I wonder if the sensible thing to do might be to start Jordan James again on the premise that he does prefer to play more of an attacking role. If we need him against Latvia, he's got an opportunity to play in that sort of system and kind of express himself a little bit. And then I think realistically, it's difficult really, because I think here I would play someone like Matondo, which I know doesn't quite fit into that sort of system.
Yeah.
But I think someone like that who can play off the wide and cut in, and incidentally Jordan James has been doing that recently, playing wider and cutting in. I wonder if that would be a good pairing to start this game, give them both experience and an opportunity either side of someone like Bradshaw, or I think he will go with Broadhead. Just again, so we're experimenting with our options up front, but none of the lads who will start on Tuesday start there, but it gives them an opportunity to cement their place a little bit. And then at half time is when we will see Morel come on in midfield perhaps, and more up front. I hope to God we don't see Ramsey. I do not want to see him dirty as boots on Thursday night. There's no need. He's been playing regular football for Cardiff. He's fine. I don't think we can afford to take that chance. So that's what I think will happen, or again something sort of similar to that, where we'll revert back to that sort of Bale era, either side of a striker.
So what trio would you be starting in Latvia?
Up front, you mean?
Yeah.
I think against Latvia, I would play Brooks, Ramsey, and Broadhead would be my attacking three.
Okay. I think I'd have Johnson rather than Brooks there, but
Johnson is absolutely who I meant. Sorry, I'm looking at my names that I've written down here and I've got my games confused. Johnson is exactly who I meant, sorry, because Johnson won't be starting against South Korea. Sorry, Korea. You're absolutely right.
Okay, so we're saying that under these circumstances, with the people's fitness, where we're at with the friendly, who's suspended, et cetera, it sounds like we're both looking at a front three of Ramsey, Johnson and Broadhead for Latvia. I think it's interesting that we've both ended up with that trio. Broadhead is playing well for Ipswich, scoring. I think you need to have someone that's in form. And then I think you're right. For the Korea game, you maybe put Wilson in what we're notionally calling Ramsey's role. You give Brooks Johnson's role and you try Bradshaw maybe in up front. I think there's scope to kind of move that around a little bit and sort of see what pairings, what combinations work a little bit in the Korea game. I'm with you. I don't want to see Ramsey other than waving from the crowd.
Yeah,
so I think it could be a bit of a smorgasbord. It's interesting they called up Matondo, as a late addition to the squad there. That kind of implies he's going to see some time somewhere. Although I think he, given what's been happening lately, I think he's a character that we ought to re-assimilate, as it were. So I think there might be some merit in him just being in the squad for that reason alone.
Yeah, I would agree with you there. I think as the game goes on then, at halftime, 60 minutes, whatever, is when you can start to make all your comedy changes. I think it'd be interesting to give someone like Morgan Fox a bit of time. Cabango, as I say, looking at some of the other ones, then bring Joe Morel on just to give him that half an hour and see the game out. Same with Big Kiefer. Maybe even a spot for Liam Cullen to have a bit of a run out. I think the key for me in the Korea game is to not concede a goal. I don't care whether it's fun to watch. I don't care if we score. I don't care if we don't have a shot on goal. We have not kept a clean sheet for such a long time that we have to be focusing on that, because that's the only way we're going to win this game against Latvia, which again is the one that matters, if we keep a clean sheet. That's all this is about. And I think Latvia are in a weird point. Sorry, I'm clicking through to my notes here. Latvia are in a weird spot, if you like, in our group, because we have quite an odd group in that they have 0 points, but are also only 6 points off second place. And because of the nature of our five-team group, Turkey are top, having played 4 games, Croatia are third, having played 2. So it's all a bit kind of jumbled and a little bit topsy-turvy. They'll also be looking at this as saying, well, they've played a game fewer than us and are only 1 point behind us if they win this game. So equally, their game against Croatia is massive. So I think if they will be desperately trying to hang on and get a point from that game and then come to us and basically try and do us 1-0. So I think the circumstance for them is massive. So we have to go into that with the aim of keeping a clean sheet. As I say, before that, the previous game against Latvia, the last time we kept a clean sheet, he says, desperately padding to find himself some space, was the qualifier, the final against Ukraine, was the last time we kept a clean sheet. And before that, the last time we kept a clean sheet was when we beat Estonia 1-0. So two clean sheets in... three clean sheets, sorry, in 2 years. I would describe that as a concern. So I think our target aim has to be not concede against South Korea, just because that's what we're going to have to do on Tuesday.
I agree, in the sense that we've got to solidify what's happening at the back. So and we've also kind of advocated for basically starting something close, if not the back five, back seven, as it were, and mess around up front. And if the messing around up front doesn't gel, it's not the end of the world at that point, because we're definitely onto the B and probably the C team with some of those combinations we're looking at. Whereas the back three, the wing backs, And obviously, I think Ampadu and Morel are probably our favoured starting central mids, but we've got to find a solution for this window. And so that's where the emphasis needs to be, and that's where we need to see the improvement. So I think that criteria is perfectly reasonable, because that's actually where we need to see the changes demonstrated on the field. I did think it was interesting, and you may have seen more of this, but there was a very brief snippet Ramsey interview where he was talking about our discipline and keeping players on the field. And while I don't think that is wrong by any means, we're hurting ourselves desperately with the number of times we go down to 10. I do think there's clearly a bigger picture than you can think of games where two yellow cards have led to wobbly decisions and someone's had a red card that, you know, holistically is perhaps not what really was deserved. And the team's dug in and held on and then conceded really late and just got unlucky in that sense. But that's not how we're going down to 10 men. We're going down to 10 men with some really silly mental errors happening with people. So I think we do need to get on top of that. Obviously, I don't disagree with Aaron in that regard, but it doesn't feel like that's actually the root of our issues.
I agree, it's not the root of our issues in terms of why this is happening. I think it's a general control. I think it's, as I said last time, a lot of frustration from different things boiling over. I wish everyone could have seen the sheer frustration on your face when you were talking about those cards there, Ruth. That was very entertaining. I think if we try and look at the Latvia game, because we're just skirting around it really in a bit more detail, I think, as I said, I gave you the stat there about the goals and they always seem to score and all that sort of stuff. They're a very physical side. They don't want to have the ball, really. Almost all of their games of late, they've been on about between 30 and 35% possession. A lot of high number of passes. They play a lot of long balls. And I think that is why also we need to have five at the back, because I think to deal with a physical challenge is going to be something that will really be important for us in this game.
Agreed. I mean, when you think about the game in Cardiff, I mean, Ward kept us in that at times with some really, really important saves. And they were harrying us. And this was as an away team at that point. They're going to up that kind of energy at home, undoubtedly. They were all over us in midfield. Now, part of that was how we went into the game as well. And I would hope that we don't set up quite as, like I said, quite as open as before. We didn't exploit what we had on the table. We didn't exploit our speed on the wings and things like that. There was a lot of accelerating down the line and then passing backwards in that game from us. But I do think we need to be mindful of just how much space they found, how quickly they drove at us and drove into things, and try and ensure that we're not exposing Ward as much as we were in that game, because he had to make some excellent saves in that game, in fairness.
I think the overrunning in midfield is one of the key areas that I think we have to make sure we improve here, because that was what we were screaming for, and Morel came into that game not at the start, I don't think. Or did he start that one? But I think that looking at that is desperately... he did start that one, sorry, but the midfield changes we went on. But I think as this game has gone on, this team has developed, I think it's really important that we are physical and everything else in that game, because I think that's how we win this game. I think we have to close down that midfield, and I think we have to press them. We have to stop them playing these long balls and cut it down at source and be direct and be aggressive and really be effective in terms of minimizing their strengths, because again, you know, our weaknesses will remain the same. They will still fancy getting in behind their fullbacks and getting the ball into the box, especially if we do play with wing backs. But again, having the extra man at the heart of defense means we can kind of move across a bit and manage that a little bit better. So I think that's really, really important.
We have a bit of a blueprint in terms of how we played in the second half. We were much better in the second half against Latvia. We pressed more, we pushed up more. there was just more speed, more adventure to what we were doing. And Metham in particular was stepping up more into the play. And I think if we have three in the back, hopefully that enables that as well a little bit, him stepping, well, all three of them for that matter, you know, one at a time, rather obviously, stepping up into the play. So I think we have a, in inverted commas, format that we know was certainly more successful than the first half against them at home. And so I think we just need to, well, learn some lessons, which we've not been very good at lately. True. And take stock and as you say, perhaps change the emphasis a little bit. Look at how can we ensure that they're just not accessing the attacking third of the field as easily as they were in Cardiff, because then you're into rushing and closing down, and that's when you make the defensive mistakes. That's when you leave someone unmarked. That's when you dive into a tackle that you shouldn't. You know, we talk often, don't we, about how the best defenders are the ones you don't notice because they haven't had to make tackle because they've not left anyone in any space. So, I mean, that's the sort of approach I'd like to see from us.
I agree, and I think that has got to be something that we implement from the off, that kind of fast and aggressive approach, I guess, is the word I'm looking for.
Controlled
aggression. Yeah, that's very true. I was going to say Joe Morel if you're listening, but no, he's he'll be fine. Anyway, so let's look at who we would start here. I would go for the five at the back, like we just discussed again. Ward, Rod and Meppam, Ben Davis, Nico on the left and Connor on the right. And I assume you're about the same with me there.
Yeah. I think where we're out of kilter is Ampadu's partner.
I
favour Burns, but I think, as you said, it might just be an audition in the first game and see what gels and then go with that.
I think I think it's just a bit too desperate, if you like, a switch for Burns to come in and do that. And, you know, he is a wide player by trade, and we do have options in there in terms of Sheehan. Even Jordan James coming back.
I like his versatility, though.
I do, too.
I like his versatility.
I just think we've got a problem in this area, and I think gambling on someone who's not really played there much is a bit much. I think Sheehan has to be in there, and I'm not, because I think Josh Sheehan is world-class by any stretch of the imagination. I just think there's no point having him in the squad, who is the only pretty much out-and-out holder alongside Ampadu, if you're then not going to play him. It's completely pointless. So I think we have to go with Sheehan. I think what will happen is I think he will ask Ramsey to do that job. That is my big concern in this game. And I think rather than what I would do is what you think. Do you think he will do the same there? Do you think he will ask Ramsey to do it?
It's one of those situations where I hope we've learned a lesson, because it doesn't work. We've demonstrated numerous times it doesn't work. Yeah. And I do actually think, ironically, much as I love Aaron Ramsey, I think, and I'm not saying we don't pick him, but I think how we play him is becoming a little bit of an issue. And I don't think it's anything to do with Aaron. I think it's to do with this hole in defensive midfield, because there is a temptation to push him back there because he's so good. You feel he's adaptable, but it doesn't work for us. It doesn't work.
Yeah,
and so I don't want to see it. But I can see how it feels like it's solving a problem. But I think all you're doing is creating a different problem.
Yeah, I agree. I think with all that does, because then who else plays out either side of him then would become the issue. And also, I don't think it solves the actual problem that we are desperate to concede goals. I think this just heightens that problem, if anything. So for me, I think that would be a bad decision. I think that's what will happen, and I don't think we will have learned the lesson. But that is just my, again, cynical view. Either side of that then, assuming that Sheehan does play there, I think we're then looking at Ramsey, Johnson. I think I would play Brooks. He's playing again for Bournemouth. He scored in the EFL Cup in the week. So I would play Brooks there. I think he's more dynamic and a threat than Harry Wilson is. But again, with the versatility issue we were talking about before, I think Page might like the fact that Wilson can drop in and play a more central midfield role if he needs to. So I can see him getting the nod for that reason. But again, Johnson up front then on his, as the free one, if you like, to go and cause havoc.
Okay, so you're going Ramsey, Wilson, Johnson, not including Broadhead.
Yes, for this, I would personally do Brooks, Ramsey, Johnson, but I think he will do Ramsey Wilson Johnson.
Okay, I think I might have Broadhead in there because I want a goal scorer of some sort, a threat. It stems back to my concerns about having five at the back, because I think it leaves us rather denuded at the front. But I think I'm going to go with someone that you would recognise as a goal scorer in there, because I don't like. I think we're a bit too predictable if we've just got Johnson running at them and let's say Brooks on the other side or Wilson on the other side. I think I like the slightly sort of and chaotic is too strong a word, but I like the sort of uncertainty that actually comes with a player like Broadhead. I think you're asking more questions almost of their defence. So that's why I sort of go that way. But I wouldn't particularly be surprised to see any combination of kind of Johnson, Wilson, Brooks, Broadhead in front of Ramsey, two of the above. And if Bradshaw has played in the career game and had a stunner, then maybe it's him, you know?
I would like to think that with you know, the exception of the holding midfield, that audition doesn't lead to that. But I don't know. I think it says a lot, Ruth. We're having this conversation. There's a lot of jumbledness going on here. And I think that is indicative of the entire situation, really. There's a lot of uncertainty. So that's my big concern with all of this, to be honest. And whether I'm right or whether you're right or whether Paige is right, I think the reality of the situation will be, if we can keep a clean sheet, we've then got to score once. And I think our real thing is being able to break teams down when we haven't got Kiefer Moore, because we don't have that long ball into the box type option. And I think that will really hinder us, because our attacking play is based on getting the ball wide, flooding central areas. If we do play this way. So, and that is different then without Kiefer Moore. So Brennan Johnson likes to run at people, likes to play on the break. He's not going to get that opportunity. Brooks the same. Ramsey likes picking up those little pockets of space in certain circumstances. That's not going to be there. They're going to close those spaces down. So I think we've got to be really cute in how we play and be dynamic and have options where we have the wide players pushing forward. You know, if depending on who the wing backs are, they need to get forward and pin people back. The others in that attacking sense need to be able to cut inside and take on a man and do something. Because really, I think we're going to end up relying on a kind of moment of magic to win us this game. And it's going to be very difficult. It's going to be very tough. And I don't know, to go to the dreaded predictions, Ruth, let's start with the career game. Do you want to say what you think is going to happen there?
To follow on with your theme of, like, it's all a bit like, ugh. Like, when I sat down at the weekend, thought, okay, I need to make some notes ahead of the podcast, and, you know, started looking at previous games and patterns of play and that sort of thing. I just found myself just kind of sat there, shrugging my shoulders, thinking, I don't know what we're trying to get out of these games. I don't know who we're trying to be. In the Korean case, I don't know what they're trying to achieve. And it all just left me with this kind of blur feeling about the window, you know? And I hate that. I hate the muckiness of this. I hate the fog of it.
Yeah.
I don't like us being in this kind of funk. It feels like we're in a funk and we've got to do something about it. And so fundamentally, I hope we just take both of these games by the scruff of the neck. For the South Korean game, I think they want to get so much more out of it than we do. I think our priorities are so different. I think they're going to win that game, but I want to see us playing defensively sound. So if we lose it 1-0, but it's from a worldie of a free kick or something like that, you know, that's I can live with. I can live with that. I just want to see us functionally sound, particularly at the back. For the Latvia game, based on what we've been doing lately, I can't see them not scoring. based on how we've been performing and how they've been performing, they're at home, I think they're going to score. That then means we need to score two. I don't see where that's coming from. So I'm probably going to go for a 1-1 draw, unfortunately.
I'm very similar to you with these predictions. I think the Korea game, I think they'll have too much in it. They're trying to get something different out of it. We're ultimately don't care and are just worried about Monday. So I think they'll beat us 2-0, and that is a concern. I think they've got some very good attacking players, and I think they'll cause us problems. As you say, great for morale if it's just from, you know, two worldies, or like, it's not, they've not been, we've not been broken down in any, you know, catastrophically stupid way or something. So that's my think there. Having talked about how Latvia always score goals and all of this stuff, I think for me this game has got 1-0 or 0-0 written all over it. And my God, I hope it's us that gets the 1-0, but I just don't think it will be. And I think that if we line up with Ramsey midfield, which is what I think will happen, I just think the thing you've been talking about here of learning lessons, I really don't think we will have. I don't think Paige will have. I have a huge collection of bigger picture issues about the boy Ramsey, who's the coach who's leaving us now. And we've got this guy Jack Lester in from Northampton. I mean, this just screams amateur hour to me, I'll be honest. So I'm massively concerned, and my honest prediction is I think we'll draw 0-0. Sorry, Freudian slip there. We will draw 0-0, and I think it'll be some kind of miracle needs to take place for us to win it 1-0. But I think that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, we're a cheery bunch, aren't we?
I know. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. I bet you've got a loads of kicks out of this one. I am concerned about the Chris Ramsey. Is it Chris Ramsey? Is that his name, or is that a comedian?
Eric
Ramsey. Sorry, Chris Ramsey is a northern comedian that my wife likes. I'm concerned about that situation that he joined and he's left so quickly. I get personal reasons. Something smells a bit funny there to me. Equally, you know, Jack Lester coming in, it just screams mediocrity. I'm sorry. I'm sure Jack Lester's a lovely man. I don't know if he listens. I'm very surprised if he does, but I'm sorry if you're the best coach in the world. But it just screams mediocrity, and there's a bigger picture that really concerns me. But this is for another day. I think it's going to be an interesting window, Ruth. We're going to try and record, obviously, the week after the Latvia game. Yeah. But I think we're at must-win territory here, right? We're at do-or-die territory now, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I think even if we win, I think we're looking at the playoffs. But I think there's a momentum and a morale boost, and as we've talked about, patterns of play and, you know, knowing who we are, and all of that can be addressed better in this window. I don't think any of it's going to be solved, but it could be improved and addressed and acknowledged and forward steps made. And so I think as long as those are happening, it might be all that we're going to get out of the game.
To offer, just to offer a quick respite, if that's the right word here. I also think there's a relative element of momentum shift that could happen in a positive way here, right? So Croatia have got to play Latvia, and I do think that game will play into what happens on our Monday night game, because Latvia have got to play Croatia. It's going to be a big ask for them. They need something from that game if playing us matters. So there's a good chance they'll lose that game, and then all of a sudden everything's done for them. They're not going to get anywhere, so that might kind of see them dead in the water. So that will take Croatia.
Or they might come back as a wounded animal and be.
I'm trying to find a positive here. Play the game. That moves Croatia to 7 points with a game in hand. They're above Armenia. They're gone. They're away. Armenia have got to play Turkey and Croatia in this window. So I think it's realistic to suggest they will stay on 6 points, which means that we will have both played the same amount of games. If we beat Latvia, we then move up above Armenia, assuming that they do lose both those games. And all of a sudden, we're third in the group again. I appreciate we then end up a reasonable distance, perhaps, 3 points behind Croatia. But again, I just think it closes it all up again. And yes, it's not perfect. Yes, we still need a miracle. Yes, you know, we're relying on the playoffs. But then everything does close up a little bit more. Everything does seem a little bit more positive. And we've moved up that table one step, and that the group is a bit more condensed. And maybe that is the bit of positivity, perhaps, that Paige needs to kind of turn the corner a little bit and move into the next window after this one with a bit more excitement. And I hope that happens, because I'm going to the Croatia game in Cardiff. So I really hope it's all about dead in the water then.
You just want something meaningful by the time you're at that game, yeah?
Yeah, exactly. I just want to have a good time when I'm there. Well, there we are, ladies and gents. Let's end on what is a most minor of positive notes. Enjoy the games, Ruth. We'll be in touch, I'm sure, but we'll obviously be tweeting and stuff out over the games. We're going to hoping to have match reports and ratings, player ratings as we go through. So keep an eye out for those on ColemanHadADream.com. And enjoy the games, if that is at all possible. Good luck to the boys, and thank you very much for your time, Ruth.
I mean, chatting, I'm not sure that was a pleasurable hour.
Well, I mean, I enjoyed it. I can't imagine the listeners will have, but there you go. What can
cathartic,
you do?
Cathartic, maybe cathartic.
Exactly,
way,
what a therapy session. Well, there you are. Thank you very much for listening, everybody, and we will be in touch again soon. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.